All right, good. Well, this was an idea for a question and answer, just in case the updates I've been putting out are confusing or not complete, or if I can have ideas for other things to clarify in one final update before the World Championships. That would be the purpose of this question and answer session. I had no idea how many people would show up, but we do have a couple, and I suspect a few more might join in. But I see we have a couple people, Michael and Vanessa. Good morning. How are you? Did either of you have any questions, or would you like me to give an overview of how the World Championships are going to go? Anything like that?
No, I don't have any questions. I've never have done this before, so just kind of thought I'd listen in.
Well, actually, I do have some suggestions for you then, if you've never done it before. And we have, it looks like Vanessa Magliari, who is an old pro at the Planned Studies, is on the line, so she might be able to add some of her input as well. But I would suggest, so Prono has been around a couple years, and we're developing a range of products, but the first thing we did was more or less this scientific philanthropy, where we took the mantle of the plan challenge that I used to do with ROR, and we put it online. We put real-time scoring and made it so that after a study's over, the participants can have interact with the population statistics. So if you haven't played around with those tools, any of the closed public plan studies you can actually go and play around with now just with a free Prono account, even if you didn't participate. This World Championship is something I've wanted to do a long time because it'll be the first one that's timed. So Michael, if I understand correctly, you have not done a plan study before?
No, we have not.
Okay, cool. Well, one quick suggestion I would have is all of the public plan studies that we've done in the future, we've done, I don't know, not, getting close to 10 of them, that they're all still posted. Most of them have the submission phases over, but you can still emulate or simulate the entire process of doing a plan study. You might want to do that just once before the World Championships, so that you can get an idea of how you download the data. These will be the CT and the structures that are already prepared, making sure you know the quickest way to get those into your planning system. You can create a real plan for that test, or you can just create a fake plan, and then you can see how uploading a plan and dose works. So you have to be able to then create a DICOM plan and dose, upload it to Prono, and the scoring will then appear in real time. And what you can do then, while you're doing a plan study, realize usually they'll take place over weeks and weeks and weeks, so people kind of fit it in to their spare time. This one's going to be timed, so you might want to, you know, round the edges off a little bit and practice once or twice with any of the open plan studies or any of the available plan studies that we've done in the past. And that way you can have an idea of just the logistics of how it works. And so you'll see your score on the screen. You get to keep creating a plan until you're happy with it. And when you're happy with it, you press submit. So the only thing different about this one, which is the big thing that's different, is that everybody in the world is going to be planning at the same time. And it will close after 4 hours. And in fact, an update on the participation levels, we are at over 300 registrants for this. So that's pretty impressive, given that it all takes place in a very fixed time window. What planning system do you use, Michael?
Eclipse.
Yeah, okay, so that should be no problem. I know we have one Eclipse expert on the line, Vanessa. Vanessa, you want to unmute yourself and let Michael Massey know any tips or techniques you would suggest? Maybe not for planning, we don't have that much time, but just for the data file workflow and using Prono, et cetera.
Hey, hello.
Good morning.
I try to not talk. Oh, I just awake my daughter. just maybe do a quick plan and try to grid your plan in Prono just to see the difference between Prono and your system. So you have a test of you know, you have your number in your TPS, but it's not exactly the same number you will see in Prono. So just do a quick plan and import it in Prono so you can adjust a little bit easily like that. Otherwise, if you do all your plan, you have all your constraints in Eclipse, but then you transfer in Prono and it's a little bit different.
Yeah, the specifics here are that we take DICOM and we will recompute, like, so all the metrics, whether they're dose metrics for an organ, a lot of them are DBH based. Some of them would be calculated metrics like a conformation number where we need to calculate isodose volumes, structure volumes, etc. We do that all on our own. We use a state-of-the-art engine to do all that, which means depending on your planning system and more really depending on the size and complexity of each structure, the DVHs, so if you plotted them on the screen, the DVHs would be overlapping to the naked eye, but there can be some differences, especially for very small structures. So what Vanessa is saying is you'll see very minor differences in some of the DVH points. So if you made a scoring spreadsheet with the data you extracted out of your own planning system, not only would you kind of be wasting time because you would be taking down numbers and entering them in a score sheet. Instead of that, you might just want to do the preliminary score in ProKnow, which will do all that work for you, show your whole score sheet. You'll get an idea of, for example, if the goal is 95% coverage of a PTV, and you get exactly 95% in your planning system, when you upload it, and maybe ProKnow says 94.5%, and you may lose a little of that, and you're like, well, why isn't it 95? This is what Vanessa's talking about. So what you'll learn to do is use ProKnow scoring as a guide to say, you know, kind of in your brain approximations that I really, for Eclipse, it needs to look like 95.5% coverage. So that's definitely good advice. Vanessa, what about for Michael? And I see we have another Eclipse user, Anthony, on the line. I then suspect that Anna Gray is joining us as well. Any
Yeah, she was sleeping. Hi, ho, waker.
Vanessa has a newborn baby. That's Vanessa and Anthony. What about the data workflow? Any advice about how to make sure that that happens efficiently and you're not wasting time futzing with DICOM files? I think with Eclipse, that's all just pretty easy.
Yeah, no, for that, there is no really just export. I usually create a folder on my desk and export on this folder and then just drag the DICOM. It's not very difficult. You don't waste too much time for that.
Yeah, but I think for anybody with any planning system, if you have not done a plan study and you're going to be in the World Championships, just go through the cycle once with any of the already available plan studies. For example, if you change your organization to Radiosurgery Society or to TROG Group, TROG, those are the two most recent plan studies. So you can always download the DICOM. It comes there as a zip. The zip will have all the DICOM CT images, the structure set, so you don't have to do any contouring. You'll need to know then, okay, I have DICOM files. How do I get those imported in my planning system? We have some TPS specific instructions on that. If you go to the support, go to ProKnow and you click on help and support, you can search on import or search on DICOM. You'll see a whole bunch of options. Give you some TPS. And then the other thing you need to do is when you do have a plan iteration, how to export that as DICOM. You just need the plan and the dose, upload them to ProKnow and your score. Then you will generate your score. And you can do that as many times as you want within the time limit. So today's only Monday. You have almost 4 days to play around, Michael.
Sure. Because we are a VA, we have a more difficult time of getting data in and out of the to the web and things like that. So it will take us a little bit longer to download and import into, because yeah, our treatment planning system is offline. It's behind a firewall, and so it does take us a little bit longer to get. So the issue we have is, like, instead of loading it up to ProKnow and checking the plan all the time, because that will be difficult for us checking our score. We actually have Plan IQ, so I loaded all the metrics up in Plan IQ. Will that give me the same score as ProKnow then?
Yes, the biggest differences I've seen are like a couple tenths of a percent at most, and that's because with ProKnow, so it's all based on an original DVH algorithm I developed many years ago. We got it published in Medical Physics. With ProKnow, I've taken it a few steps further, but it's very, very, very similar to PlanIQ. So yeah, that's kind of great. You have a little bit of an advantage there that you don't have to upload to test your score. Now, one thing is you want to make sure the subtleties of the algorithm are loaded exactly in PlanIQ. And I think for this algorithm we set up, yeah, you should be able to do that just fine. So as long as you've translated those correctly, then that's good. Mm-hmm. And that'll make up for, I'm guessing, what you probably have to do if you're behind a firewall is get those DICOM files maybe on a laptop and on a thumb drive, do the work locally, and then when you're ready to try one on Prono, you have to go to an encrypted thumb drive and bring it over to that laptop. Is that about what you do?
Yes. It's really, we are not allowed to have thumb drives either. So oh, wow. it's a lot of work. So yeah, we can get a biomet and they have a thumb drive. So yeah, it can be done.
Okay. Michael. Hey, Michael, it's Anthony. I just wanted to suggest that if you're trying to make Prono match what's in quality reports, a couple times I did it, one of the things that helped me the most, if you really, really want to get it down to the hundredth or whatever, was just to really up the super sampling in Prono to, like, you know, instead of like 50 to like 300 or 500 or something like that, as far as the volume of the of the organs at risk that it super samples.
That's a good point. Lot. Yeah.
Okay. And then the other thing is, I don't know if you can create a new external DICOM export filter in Eclipse with a UNC path, a /// machine name to get you to some computer that is on both sides of your firewall or something, or just some place where you had where you could just simply drag and drop between two different systems, where you could then easily on that other system upload it to Prono really fast. So even if you can't do it from your Eclipse workstation, you could maybe have a network location that's available on both the system that's not on your firewall and that has access behind the firewall, and maybe that could be the system you upload to. But I'm sure you have your own method, but those are just the two suggestions I have in your situation. Good luck, man.
That's a really good, and I'm sorry, because cobwebs are coming off my brain a little bit. What Anthony says is it's some good advice. So if you do use PlanIQ locally, then, and you don't have to leave it this way for your normal plans and quality reports, but go to settings and preferences and the super sampling. There are two things you can, several things you can set that you'll want to set for this, when you're trying to match Prono. The first is the end cap, how you model an end cap of a structure. In Eclipse, that'll be modeled as it kind of shaves it off exactly at the last slice. In Prono, we will always, if there's the last slice, whether it's the most superior, most inferior, or even if it's on an edge, like a sheer edge, there'll be a little bit of a volume that's simulated going beyond. There won't be the flat edges. So in PlanIQ, you want to set that to be model an end cap. I think it go to up to 1.5 millimeters, but no more than half the slice spacing. And I believe the slice spacing in this image set will be 2 millimeters. So automatically it'll just be 1 millimeter. So in PlanIQ, that will do it. And then what Anthony mentioned is there's a threshold volume below which you will always do super sampling. That's a little bit of a difference than how Prono does it. What we do is we always make sure, no matter how small the organ is, we always make sure there are over 10,000 points sampled, which means divvying it up into a very refined set of tiny voxels, and then interpolating dose at each tiny voxel. That's the best way to model it, we found, when you're comparing it with true analytic results. So you'll want to set that, as Anthony said, to best emulate that, set it around at least 200 cubic centimeters. And like I said, for this is a GYN case, so it's not like the recent Trog case, which was an SRS brain that had tiny little structures. There you could see these end capping and the super sampling really would make a difference. I think for this GYN case, there'll be a lot less deviation, but that's some good advice for sure. On the topic, I'm glad you guys brought it up. And even though we have a small group this morning, I'm recording it and I'll post this later so other people will hear it as well. I did make a couple tweaks to the algorithm the other day. What we're doing, and I'll tell you what those are, but and I'll also post them. They make it a little more lenient. They don't make it harder. What we're doing is it's actually a combination of the PlanIQ scoring and also this performance bin method we use. So there are actually five striations or five layers of performance zones for each metric. So your color coding will be with a word and a color, and then the score will be the same. It's just another layer of kind of this visual feedback that I think will make planning a little faster. And even though it won't show up in the audio that I'm recording, I am sharing my screen here so I can show you guys what that looks like. I'll load a test plan. You won't get any hints from looking at this. I'll just show you. I wouldn't do that.
Shame.
I wouldn't do that. But I'll use this to guide you and on what metrics I tweaked. And what they were there were a couple metrics in there, and Michael, you probably noticed this because you already set those up or you're in the process of setting them up. There were some that at the very minimum requirement, they were a step function, so below a minimum requirement, or in the case of an organ at risk, above it, it would be 0 points, and then you get to the minimum requirement and it steps up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay, those, what it does now is it's still a step up, but now there's a kind of this a very small slope up to it. So it's not a step function, it's a small slope. So here you can see a scorecard for just a test plan we did, and you can see what it looks like. There'll still be a score. Can you guys see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, great. This is what your scorecard will look like. So you still have, for every metric, you have this Gantt bar that moves from left to right as your performance for that metric gets higher. So you can see here, everything on this test plan met the minimal objective except for the fourth metric. And that fourth metric you can then see, because it didn't meet the minimal requirement, it says unacceptable. Well, each of these metrics not only has the score function that you saw earlier, but it's divided into five bins from unacceptable to marginal to acceptable to good to ideal. It's just a little bit of I think this will help with the visual feedback, but it won't change the scoring at all. So let's talk about the two that were changed. And then it allows people to do what's called a OMH, the objectives met histogram, which I'm playing around with as a cue. The idea here is that a cumulative objectives met histogram works just like a target DVH interpretation does for a physician, a dosimetrist, or a physicist. That is, you want it to look like a nice, flat, well-covered target. So if you fall below, you can see there were 19 objectives, and since we have 18 that were greater than or equal to marginal, see, we fell below. We have a cold spot, and that cold spot is this one unacceptable metric that you saw in the scorecard. Then it falls again here, that meaning there's one marginal. So each of these cumulative OMH represents the number of objectives that were better than or equal to this particular performance bin. So there's a differential objectives met histogram and a cumulative objectives met histogram. Again, it'll still produce the same score out of 150, but this allows us to quickly see, were there any that were unacceptable? Because in some cases, there can be an algorithm where someone may be rewarded for tanking on a metric or two to go grab points somewhere else. And I think really in the real world, you want to do well on all your metrics, but at least meet all your minimal objectives. So keep an eye on that. You don't want any, try to not have any red on this scorecard. Let's look at what that in particular. Let's look at the shapes of those score functions that I changed, and I'll see them. And again, I was going to post this anyway, and it only made it more lenient. So here were these interesting shaped score functions designed by the team. And I think the ones, that were changed, I'd have to look over and compare, but I'll post these again for you. I think all but maybe two or three of them had slight changes, so I'll make sure to get those posted today.
Okay.
This is good. What other questions? Maybe I can use the fact that I have some experts on the line and ask you guys some questions that I think are just general generally good to know before we dive into this. Another thing, the Prono engineering team has been working diligently the last couple of weeks to make sure we have the server space. We've never had so many people downloading, uploading, and scoring all at once. And since we're on the cloud, we make sure to have the power behind that. So if 300 people all happen to press generate score at the same time, that they won't have to wait too long. So it was a bit of a challenge, but we think we're in good shape. But the question I had, it was, what do you all think about the 4-hour limit? Is that, do you think that's fair but aggressive? What do you think about that?
Well, it's half a day. I think that's fair. The problem is it's not necessarily easy to, I'm sure I will not have 4 hours because my daughter will need me at some point and it's bedtime. So for that, it's a little bit challenging, but otherwise 4 hours, I think it's fair.
That's good. Will it, what do you think about it, Michael? And we'll kind of have to, despite the few minutes here and there you might lose because of.
See, I'm a physicist too, so it's been a while since I've done dosimetry. I'm also a dosimeter, so I'll be cutting it close.
Yeah.
it'll be tight for me because I have to knock some rust off. So, yeah.
I should mention, you can work as a team on this one. Usually people say, hey, we'll do that. But if you wanted to work as a team, and I'm glad you brought up that that you're a physicist, because when we take when we look at these plans, so we're going to look at the scores, then we also are going to look at these practical metrics. As you can see on the screen, we're going to be looking at the number of treatment beams, the number of unique isocenters, the number of unique couch angles, so how many, if any, beams were non-coplanar, cumulative monitor units, estimated beam on time, and then a quick check on the max voxel dimension and the dose grid size. Those are some practical things. You will see all those, but these are unscored. But we are going to be weeding out over-designed plans that didn't meet the rules. There were a lot of plans that did not follow the instructions, for example, that were submitted for the SRS brain study. Over 10% of the plans defied the rules. And
wow.
So this one, we're not, and some of them by a lot. Like we said, if you're LINAC based, 25,000 monitor units or less. We had the highest monitor units submitted, 44,000.
Oh, goodness.
And, I think it's fine for people to play around with planning, but in a world championship environment, we're going to have to weed those out. That's not, we want them to be realistic. I mean, the goal of this is to create a plan that you would actually treat, be proud and comfortable treating. So we're putting
the only thing I'm a little sad is the number of arc, because for this kind of case, usually they are pretty wide. Well, I guess it depends, but if the target is pretty wide, usually I use 5 arcs.
5?
Not necessarily full, because I try to spoil, my MLC and try to have a jaw not more than 14 to 16 centimeters. So I'm trying to see, where I cover. So I have, I kind of put, how say that? I kind of treat one side and then kind of the other. And I have a fifth one who take everything, kind of the middle, depending on if the target is very wide or not. If the target is not wide, I don't do that, but sometimes it's useful because it allows to have only a beams of 14 centimeter in the X direction, and it's easier for your MLC.
Well, that's a good point. And this, it's another reason I wanted to do these Q&A sessions was, if that, I'm making a note here, and if it's a consensus that 5 is fine and people would use up to 5 in real life, I can relax that from 4 to 5. In the past, and in particular when ROR did the plan challenges, they did a GYN case. They actually said 3 arcs or less.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought we were being generous by giving 4. What do you guys think?
Well, I guess let's talk
about those specifically. So Vanessa has suggested maybe allowing up to 5, if you're doing VMAT, up to 5 arcs. I'll definitely consider that, and we'll post it if we change that.
So they're not necessarily full arc, because
right.
I setting my jaw, in one side, and then I'm looking my target, and you know, all the area my jaw are open outside my target, I just, you know, skip this this area. So they are not 5 full arc, but kind of 2 3/4 on one side, 3/4 on the other side, and 1 in the middle full. What I was doing in clinic, I think you can achieve a better plan quicker. It's not necessary. It's a little less. It's a little more longer in treatment room, but I think it's you can achieve a better plan like that.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm writing this down. If there aren't any vetoes to that in this meeting or the next, so there's there's a benefit of showing up for a Q&A session. That is, you get a vote. If there aren't any vetoes to that, I'll make another couple calls, but look for that. Maybe we'll expand that up to 5. To be then fair, when we're talking about if people use IMRT, or if they use a combination of IMRT and VMAT, which I kind of doubt for this one, but it could happen. Let's say it's IMRT. And usually people using IMRT now, they'll either do it if they think there might be an advantage to get a higher score, or they just aren't comfortable or don't have a license to do VMAT planning yet. So in those cases, what do you think the beam limit should be? I've currently it's set at 9. Up to 9 is fine. Is that enough?
Yeah, I think 9 or 10 is fair. That's my
thought. I think it's fair, yes.
Yeah. I almost feel like if we go to 5 arcs, I might have to up this to 10 just to be fair, but 9, maybe 10. So we're not too far off. What about in this type of treatment? There currently is not any requirement that it needs to be either coplanar or monoisocentric, because you never know. There may be some really clever and realistic and techniques that people use in the real world that have multiple isocenters, you know, hopefully not a bunch of them, because that's adding to your overall treatment time, obviously. And I think, you know, you need to allow for people to say a couch kick here or there will, there's a reason for doing it. What do you guys think about the number of isocenters and non-coplanar? Are there any practical constraints we should put in the guidelines?
As far as my point or my comment would be, as far as non-coplanar, you know, I don't see a strong reason to make a non-coplanar plan for this. And all the places I've been, not many people would ever treat this with the non-coplanar beam arrangement. As far as the number of isocenters, if for whatever reason, you know, I haven't seen the target, but if it's larger than your aperture, then obviously there's a big reason to use multiple isocenters. In fact, it's not doable otherwise. So with that said, if it's larger than, you know, whatever your, you know, HTMLC or Halcyon have smaller apertures, you know, ViewRay has a smaller aperture. So if your aperture is smaller, then obviously you would need to use multiple isocenters. But if it fits inside all those apertures, I don't think there's any reason to use multiple isocenters either.
Yeah. And this goes a little bit to what Vanessa was saying, I think, about if you do have jaw limits or something, then you have to either, you're going to play with different beams, maybe shift it over or rotating the collimator, all that magic you guys do. Yeah, so we'll be recording it here. Everyone will see it. But if it comes down to, let's say, the two, sounds like we have a lot of Varian users on the phone this morning. If it comes down to the top 3 Varian scores are all within 0.5 point, but they are, there's one that's demonstrably more efficient or something, it may be taken into consideration. We're going to try to keep the subjectivity to a minimum and hopefully not have to use it at all, because if people are using techniques they'd use in the clinic, then it all takes care of itself. But this one, I think we'll have to do a little more fine-tooth comb analysis to make sure that they're realistic.
And just for the record, as far as MUs, FFF beams usually take about 10 to 20% more MUs to make a plan.
Yes. They also, of course they do, but they also usually will have an advantage of a smaller.
The dose rate is higher, generally speaking, yeah.
Just because it's a true beam, not because of the flattening filter part. So what we're going to do there is, and so 10 to 20%, that's not a big deal. It's these really, it's these outliers we're looking at. So I can't propose a limit. So what's really going to be neat and a little bit of a mystery for people who participate is what we're going to do here is just a statistical analysis after. So after the submissions are shut down, I have 24 hours to have the results posted. So we're going to do a statistical analysis of the distributions of, if it's LINAC based, of total monitored units. And there's not going to be a punishment, or there won't be a reward per se of being small, but the outliers, so more than two standard deviations from the mean. So we're really looking at the outliers here, and those are going to be treated differently. So the good thing here is that as people are planning, just bear in mind, if you go with exorbitant monitor units, if that's appreciably more than the population, there will be a cost for that. I can't tell you what those numbers are until we've collected all the data. And really, it has been just really the last two plan studies in particular, the RSS lung, which was an SBRT lung, and the SRS brain. There were a good, you know, about 5 to 10% that were just too many monitor units and above the stated value. And so we have to find a way not to reward that gaming of the system. And the reason we have to is because it actually brings criticism upon us. It hurts the legitimacy of the study if afterwards people can say, oh, look at that. The winning score had this many monitor units. That's ridiculous. We want these to be legitimate. We want people to find value in them. And so it's imperfect, but we do hope we're getting a little bit better each time.
One other thing I'd mention on that maybe is that you look at IMRT separately than VMAT insofar as those binnings.
Yeah, the population for VMAT will be looked differently than the IMRT. But there will be some comparison. We're getting fewer and fewer IMRT submissions. More of them are VMAT. So it depends on how big.
With a timed challenge like this, you might see a different, I don't know. IMRT plans on any treatment planning system are much quicker to make than VMAT.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll definitely learn some things as well. And like always, we'll try to improve on it in the future. So 4 hours, let's go back to this time limit. 4 hours seems, I think Vanessa said it's fair enough time to create a good plan, but not so much that you can start doing too crazy things.
Yeah.
In the future, do you almost think, because remember, as the years go on, this timed event, which we're planning to do at least one a year, one of my secondary reasons for doing this was to see, as auto planning develops, to see if it can do what it promises, at least now or in the future, and that is generate a high quality plan in a short amount of time. Is 4 hours ever going to trust? Do you think a machine's plan will ever be able to touch a best manual plan if the time limit is up to 4 hours?
Well, after when you talk about auto planning, is auto planning that's it, or you know, best because people can start with auto planning and then you know continue manually. So when we say auto planning, it's auto planning, nothing else.
It's a good question, because I know some auto planning, and I've seen, because I did an interview of someone who used auto planning to get the highest score for their TPS in one of the recent plan studies, and as he described it, it's a physician. A physician created the highest score clinical plan. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. He used auto planning, but then when we looked at his process, it was really just using auto planning as his way of optimizing, and it did have a number of iterations he went through. So auto planning, I don't think today is click a button, walk away, and come back, and it is what it is. I think you're right. It's man and machine are a team. I guess let me phrase my question differently. What this could evolve to be is when you do a plan study and we're just looking at a score, what generally happens is there's some threshold score that all plans are really good at that point. And then beyond that, it's just the competition or the challenge of getting a little more sparing here, a little more sparing there, a little more coverage here. And that's good. That makes people better planners, helps them use their planning system better in the real world. But there may not be a, you know, it's I don't know if we could ever demonstrate a clinical difference based on scores, but that's not what we're trying to do. We're just trying to put forth these obstacle courses, so to speak. But it could be that what it is in the future, and this may be a stupid idea, but this is why I like having you guys to bounce it off. It could be in the future that it's how quickly can you get to a threshold score?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of looking at a score and having a time limit, it could be have a score threshold and the time. It's a race. That may be a stupid idea, but it may be a better way to test the efficiency of planning.
I don't know. To me, it seems like the four-hour thing is more clinically relevant. No one really races in the clinic. It's mostly just, hey, you've got half a day or you've got 1 day to make a good plan on this patient.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Good.
I can say it'd be interesting, but I'm not sure how relevant it is.
In a race, I know I always want to tweak something. So in a race, for sure, I'm losing because I always think, oh, I can maybe improve that. So restart your optimization and, oh, well, maybe I can improve that. So in a race, for sure, it's nope, not for me.
That's good.
Do you think that? Do you think that the 4 hours limits the total number? I know, like I've worked in clinics before where the dosimetrists are fighting over their time to actually work on the plan challenge plan, and like they couldn't, like two dosimetrists couldn't have it open at once in our clinic, so like someone had to work on it for a couple hours in the morning, someone like in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I think of that clinic now that it's the 4 hour, I think you're probably knocked the one or two dosimetrists out of competing. So maybe the time to reach a threshold is better.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, Michael. So first of all, I think there was some good feedback here that the best emulation of the real world is to say, hey, this is a virtual physician saying, I need this plan in 4 hours. So that was good, definitely good feedback. And it looks like the 4 hours was a fair enough, but aggressive enough. Now, Michael, to your question, that is a great point. I want to bring it up. This is an Eclipse-specific challenge for every plan study that has multiple planners participating. The workaround, and so because Eclipse, you can't bring this patient in as multiple iterations of different patients and then have people working in parallel and independently. There is a workaround to that people use when it's multiple people kind of sharing this hub of data, and that is to create verification plans where each plan that people are working on has used the same root CT images and structure sets, but there's some magic they do in Eclipse where they'll create different versions of QA verification plans where it's really the patient that they're working on independently. It has been a hurdle with institutions with multiple competitors in the past, but it's never been a big deal because we usually have 4 to 6 weeks where people kind of fit in their spare time. I did have a huge concern over this for the World Championships. In fact, a team from, I think, Georgia, I can't remember, the chief dosimetrist there contacted us and said, hey, is there a way you can publish multiple copies of this same patient that don't look to Eclipse like the same patient? This was just mm-hmm. last week, and that would be the ideal way to do it. And I tried to do it and wasn't successful with all the anonymizer options I have because it's actually looking at the very core SOP instance UIDs of every CT image, and those are all mapped in the structure set. So if you change any of them, you have to make sure all the DICOM links are preserved. And there wasn't a deep anonymizer that I could find that would do that yet. I even called Anthony because he's a Eclipse guru. Anthony's there to way to do it, and it's... There's no freeware to do this now, and so ideally that's what I'd do. I'd say, hey, here are 10 iterations or at least 5 iterations. It's all the same patient data, but they will import differently. So, Michael, what you might want to do if you have multiple planners is know that little technique to go through to create multiple verification plans, and then you can have 2 or 3 or 4 people working at the same time, and Eclipse doesn't know it's the same patient.
Or Ben, you could find a way to post it multiple times for Eclipse users as well. We can talk more about that offline if you want.
Say that again. Multiple post it multiple.
You could have, you know, five different versions of the patient, and then post them all. People could pick, you know, data set two, data set three. They're all the same, just with different DICOM user IDs.
Yeah.
We could talk more about that offline if you want.
Yeah, it's. We'll definitely find a way to do it in the future. I think right now we've tested one data set, and it, you know, there's, it's just a little bit of a hurdle. But I don't want anyone to think we have to kick some. We have to kick some planners and from, and keep them from participating just because our system is making it impossible to import the same data, make copies of a patient. I think other planning systems, you basically, you can make copies of a patient and then people are working in parallel. Or that would be another thing. Anthony, maybe you can convince Varian to allow people to make copies of a patient. We can play this game either way, buddy. that would be helpful. But that is going to be an extra hurdle. So either people are going to say, hey, we're going to work as a team and try to win, or we really have multiple people. We're going to have to do our little verification plan trick. Yeah, that's... I mean, Anthony, we can talk again. I mean, the other thing is, in an ideal world, I could send the data to each vendor and say, hey, test this. And if you need multiple copies, can you do it for me? The problem is, for a world championship, I think people would gruff about that, and maybe because they would say, well, you can't give the data out in advance. You never know where it ends up. So the data this data set has never been published, and it does have to be on lockdown, because obviously if the structures are out there and we've already said what the algorithm is, then in theory, you never know where it ends up going. Not saying that I don't trust people. I'm just saying that is a criticism people would bring to Prono. How do you know? ... So we do the best we can. What other questions or what other things should I make sure to publish in a new update before Thursday?
What is the process for the QA of the plan that we generate?
Great question.
You know, I thought there was a
you mean the dose?
Second. Yes.
Beautiful. I love it, Michael. You're asking all the good questions here. So it's important to go back. It's important for people to say, hey, these studies really do make sense. And ever since the beginning, there would be a criticism, whether it was real or it was a straw man or, you know, it could actually be both. People would say, how do we know those winning plans are even, quote unquote, deliverable, or those would never pass QA. So starting a year and a half ago, for a few planned studies, we've added it was optional to say, hey, we do want to make sure, and it's not just deliverability, meaning there's no collision with the couch or the MLCs can actually move that fast. It's also, did you stress the TPS and all of a sudden its calculation isn't as trustworthy? And all of that can only be assessed with a good old-fashioned pre-treatment dose verification. And so the true composite dose verification, I think we allow up to 12 hours from the time the submission is done. So hopefully that's enough time, or whether a physicist did the plan or a dosimetrist did the plan and has a physicist, hey, within 12 hours, can you go deliver, find a time, find a couple minutes, few minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it takes, deliver a fraction, true composite. That means you've got some kind of dosimeter acting as a patient surrogate. This would be your Delta 4, your arc check. It could be a diode or an ion chamber array in a flat phantom. What we want to do here is, this is only required if you want to compete for the overall. But it is required if you want to compete for the overall. So someone may say, hey, I'm not going to have time to do that, but I want to win the... I want to win the highest plan score or the highest Eclipse or Ray Station or Pinnacle or Monaco plan score. There will be categories. But the overall category will require that objective evidence of the QA be submitted. And that will be PDF with enough imagery. And this is something I need to obviously post more details on. But it will be objective evidence showing QA pass rates, which analysis, I'll suggest which analysis we need to see. It'll be probably TG218 kind of sort of with the you know 3% 2 millimeter. I'll also ask for 2% 2 millimeter. And that will be the objective evidence showing this was a fraction of this plan that was treated, which shows not only, you know, hopefully that it could be calculated that it would pass your QA, but also that it was actually delivered and there weren't any issues with it. And I think that's one way that people can say, okay, well, it was a really good score. I thought that was undeliverable, but they did the QA and it came out fine. It's another way to add legitimacy to these studies. So that's the idea. And so are there any, now on that topic, so people in the past, people have said, why can't I just do my independent calc check? And that works. Well, that doesn't really check deliverability. How do I know it's not banging into the couch? How do I know the machine has trouble with it? And then, you know, other people say, can I just submit a log file? Well, that only shows deliverability and it doesn't show the TPS. So that's why we have to do this true composite. EPIDs will not be accepted for this one unless, it's got to be, you know, work with your physics staff, say, hey, can you throw something on? Everybody has done this before, and some people will still do it for every, as their pretreatment dose QA. And you slap that solid water or acrylic or whatever it is on that couch. You've got some array of dosimeters in it, and you just deliver that treatment. And you compare the calculation on the phantom, of course, with the measurements in that phantom. People should all know how to do that. And so if people don't have time to do it, that's absolutely fine. It's just that you're competing for the planning prizes then, or the planning recognition then, and not the planning plus delivery.
So you're not going to allow portal dosimetry or refraction or anything like that? It's all map check or something else like that?
Well, again, I always have to think in terms of how could we be criticized that it's invalid? So if it were a per fraction, so that was, let's say someone took their log files or they just recalculated the dose or something like that, that doesn't tell me anything about whether it could be delivered, that all the beams at their treatment angles were delivered and everything came out well, like in the real world on a patient. So it tests some things, but not everything. At the same time, if you only do a calculation or emulate a calculation, so we do have to test the calculation but as long as there's a phantom on the couch and you're measuring it and all the beams are if it's a three arc VMAT, those three arcs are treated. It's not just an EPID sitting there opposite the source and the gantry may or may not be moving and you're collecting this mashed potato image on the other side. That doesn't really verify to me. That doesn't prove. And so people could come and criticize and say that conglomerate EPID image doesn't tell me anything, and they would be right.
What's wrong with per field portal dosimetry?
Per field EPID, well, if you're doing dose reconstruction with it, I would call that is a kind of a virtual true composite. So that would be fine.
I don't think portal dosimetry does dose reconstruction. I think it just looks at the predictive fluence versus the delivered fluence right. Per field at the actual gantry position.
Which tells me nothing about whether that was calculated accurately or not. Hmm. Yeah. So it's all about, and that's a very common way of doing QA because people say no. They think it's delivery QA. And a lot of physicists call it delivery QA. This just happens to be in my wheelhouse of where I've spent most of the last 10 years. I think it's fair to call it delivery QA, but it doesn't qualify as dose QA because what if it had fields or arrangements that couldn't be calculated accurately? Then you would perhaps see differences or errors if you did a true composite. And let's go back to the IROC studies where they're sending the phantoms out and people say everything's perfect. They send them back and they examine the results and they're not perfect. They're far from perfect. And they went and found that the vast majority of the errors were found with imperfections in the TPS dose calc or the TPS model that was used. So the TPS dose calc is not a given anymore until we have much more stringent dose commissioning requirements that use, by definition, true composite methods and a bunch of really aggressive plans, then I don't think we can say, hey, just take a portal image or just inspect the log files. I mean, all of these things are imperfect. So a phantom on the couch with some detectors in it and delivered as that phantom as a patient, calculated for those array points, maybe dose reconstructed, and then compared with what was calculated by the TPS.
So you're going to post more information on this, but sounding like you need a Delta 4 or an ARC check with...
Or a MAP check. If everybody's got a flat array and everybody used...
But a MAP check has Angular dependence, and
does.
I don't know...
But at least it can emulate that this thing was delivered and there's some semblance. It's highly imperfect, believe me, I know that. If it was perfect, there wouldn't have been Delta 4s and ARC checks ever invented. But I'm not going to make people say they have to have one of those other devices, so... It's true composite, and physicists know what true composite means. So I hate to be a stickler on this, but I'm just setting again. This is just to go for that additional category. You know, if you have the best plan score and you want to go for that overall, it takes a little bit of extra work, and then you have to prove that it was both calculated accurately enough and delivered precisely. And the only
what do you think about increasing it from 12 to 18 hours? Because I think that 12 hours can be pretty tricky for people, especially if they're finishing it as they go home. The next day they get there and they're out of time. You know, that physicist leaves an hour before it's due, and you know they're not back to work for another 12 hours.
I could definitely up it. I need to have it, and I promised everyone within a day, and so I would need to have the results and enough time to analyze. So I think I might relax that and give it up to. Maybe even up to 20 hours, but I'll post more information about the valid methods. And again, do not keep, if you can't do this or you don't want to do this, anybody listening to this, don't let it keep you from participating and competing. If you can't get your physicists involved, or you're a physicist and you don't have time, or it's a busy day and you treat patients 20 hours a day and you can't find a time slot on the machine you're planning for, don't worry, you should compete anyway. It's just that next level of participation where you're doing a true dose composite should be rewarded and will be rewarded for the overall, but it's not a requirement for competing at all. But I'll post the rules for that, and I think it's not a bad idea to change it from a 12 to up to a 20. And a lot of that is because the time zones around the world, I feel bad for the Far East. They're going to be getting up really early. Some people in Europe are going to be working really late. That's imperfect too. I think in future years we may have to share that pain. So it's, you know, maybe next year the United States and North America might be early or late, but this was the kind of the sweetest spot. So I was like, well, here's a time gap where it could certainly be scheduled in with all these days to plan for it. But I can add a little more time to that. I'll do it. Other questions, concerns? This has been really helpful for me. I appreciate you all showing up.
I just joined in, so I may be missing some questions. So my question is, how many targets in this case?
Excuse me. First of all, I don't see your name on the list. Can you introduce yourself?
My question is how many targets?
Oh, how many targets?
For this case.
Okay. Yeah. I was just wondering what your name is, but yeah, how many targets? There will be two targets, PTV 45, mm-hmm. treated to 45 gray, and a PTV 50. There is a large amount of overlap in these targets, so the PTV 45 does contain the PTV 50, but two targets, and you're going to, in this case, we're going to simulate 25 fractions. Simultaneous integrated boost. And if you look, the dose scoring mm-hmm. algorithm that you can now download will explain not only what the targets are and the coverage goals are, but also what all the organ at risk sparing metrics and objectives are as well.
Yeah, I see. Because at the beginning of the announcement that there are three targets. So, like, okay, so PTV 50 is within PTV 50, right?
PTV 50 and to treat it at 50 gray and PTV 45.
Okay, just great. Yeah, thank you.
And just so you can kind of get an idea of the, well, I was gonna show you the 3D renderings, but you'll see those soon enough, I guess. There's nothing surprising about him. It's a real patient plan from the archives, with a physician who has recontoured everything. So it's nice, smooth contours. Another good thing about the contours is originally we got them exported from, I can't remember if it was MemVista or Pinnacle, and it was a really large file, 25,000. We did have them, we had them recontoured, and we pushed them through, we pushed them through Eclipse and re-exported, and that does a nice, efficient job of cutting down the file size. So it's a nice trim and neat, about 6 or 7 meg instead of almost 30, which will help, you know, just with the download time and with the processing of that structure set the very first time. So some of the metrics will be very easy to achieve. You'll figure that out, like the volume of the right and left femoral head covered by 30 gray. We added that in there just because it is part of most protocols, but this is going to be one that it's going to be very easy to achieve, even the ideal. Other metrics are going to be more difficult, and part of the challenge is to figure out where can I essentially pick up the most points based on the weightings of these objectives. So the example plan and the scorecard you're seeing here was it's a pretty decent VMAT plan, but it was done in less than 2 hours. So this was optimized. It wasn't optimized to get the best plan possible. This was optimized for testing of the algorithm and looking at sanity checks. So most planning systems and planners should be able to get to a pretty decent plan and meet the minimal objectives. You see this one missed the one that's the PTV 45 minus 50. So that's a Boolean. That would be the volume. That's the 45 gray, but doesn't contain the 50 gray. We're trying to test that the volume or the dose in that region does drop down and isn't just this heterogeneous mess from 45 to 50. So we do look at the volume that's 47.25 or above. And so that may be, you know, that may be one thing you optimize, but that's only worth 7 out of 150 points. And that may be one you choose to sacrifice at least at the beginning and then come back to later.
Okay.
Good questions. What else? It's been really helpful because some of the things that came out of this meeting, I'm going to make sure to post in detail in the final update we'll put out probably tomorrow. And that will go out with, hopefully, if my technology worked here, a recording of this meeting. So it's really helpful, and I appreciate everyone signing in. Are there any more questions?
I'm good. Thank you.
If there aren't any more, then I wish you luck. If you think of any questions, you can either log back in tonight or jot them down in an email. Or if it's a hint that says, hey, make sure you explain this in the next update, just drop a line to either my email or you can go to Prono and just say contact us and use that support and it will get forwarded to me immediately. So if you forgot anything, don't worry. Drop us a line. So look for... look for a final update to come out at least 48 hours before the competition, and have fun, good luck, and I hope to see your names on the leaderboards.